three-quarter time review. Here we are. I got me mate Blake Maitland from Moto Rundown, and we're going to do a bit of bench racing about the super season at the three-quarter mark. How are you, dude?
I'm good, Steve. Just the cold mornings have arrived and try not to get sick at the moment.
It sucks, doesn't it, man? Yeah, yeah. Obviously, as you know, most of my listeners are in the Northern Hemisphere. And I've had mates up there telling me about how it's good that the days are getting longer and it's getting warmer, and we're going the fucking opposite, man. It sucks, doesn't it? But anyway, you can't change that, can you? You definitely can't change. There's a few things in life you can't change, and the weather is definitely one of them.
Frost in the car windows in the morning is definitely a convenience, but.
Yeah. We won't get frost for another probably 5 or 6 weeks. So yeah, but
lucky bastards.
Yeah, Kiwis, it's a bit colder still there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Yeah, cool. Let's get into it, hey. So since our last one of these reviews, that was just after Daytona. We had four rounds since then. So we've had Birmingham, Indy, Seattle, and St. Louis, and there's some pretty good talking points over each of them, and some pretty interesting things as far as the whole season goes through them. So, man, let's just talk a bit about Birmingham for a start. So, I think Birmingham, we were probably of the mind after Jet won that, it was like, oh shit, like this is gonna get predictable. It's going to get boring. We even thought that after Daytona. We said that in the last show, I think. And obviously things have changed since then, haven't they? You know, he's made a few mistakes. He's had some bad luck that wasn't his fault at all and that sort of thing, which we'll get into. And then also, too, Tom Vial won again at Birmingham, sort of really stamped himself as a fair income contender for the East, man. So that was pretty interesting. Probably the funniest, biggest talking point. Well, I thought it was funny. The biggest talking point was Deegan's behavior at Birmingham. there's a lot of time we could spend on that, but man, like throwing Seth's bike, ranting and raving at the PC truck. The best bit of the whole lot, man, was Seth's mum shooing him away. That was just Seth's mum was the MVP of Birmingham for me. I reckon that was fantastic.
And, mad respect her. The funny thing is, my mum's similar to that, so
I can get
behind it.
It's so cool. Yeah, it reminds you of being a kid and seeing like a mum jump in and break up a fight or something. It's like, yeah. Everyone respects a mum. Like, it's just like, back the fuck off. This is someone's mum. Like, you know,
don't especially like those mini mums, especially. Oof.
Oh yeah. Moto mums is just like, even, you know, that's even more intense than a mum, you know? So yeah, that was definitely the talking point of that, man. And the shittiest thing of the whole of Birmingham was, Cody Shock, getting punted on the last corner for eighth or seventh or whatever it was.
I don't know. So, although it took a misfortune for him to be turned into a hero a week
later. That's right. That's right, man. He was turned into a hero a week later, man. Before we move on to a week later, man, what else you got about Birmingham, man?
I'm just trying to reflect back on it. Yeah. Are you at the stage where I am, where a Jet win doesn't excite you anymore?
Oh, yeah. I was at that probably by Birmingham. I was at that, and I was just sort of like, I mean, even as it goes far as back as even when Jet won A1, I was like, oh, shit. Is this it now? Like, you know, like I keep saying, I want one of the old guys to win. Jet's going to win heaps. I want one of these old boys to get it done this year. Yeah, even after A1, I was like, oh man, is that it? Like, you know. And then, you know, there's been things happen, but then he sort of settled in. Daytona was a real statement, then Birmingham, and then, you know, and by then I was already like, yeah, I think this is just going to be the way forward now for the next several years or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's I'm way more excited when there's a battle, when someone else wins, it sort of gives us hope that there's going to be more battles, I guess. You know,
oh, like, definitely.
Because it's very, I struggle to remember a race that Jet has won in 450s. I don't think there's a race he's won in 450s where it was a fight to the end. They've all been runaways, haven't they? Or am I forgetting one? They've all been boring wins. He's just cleared out from the front.
Like the closest, thing I can think of is, I don't really count, as much of those things, I don't really count Roczen's win at Chicago. But yeah, the only one I feel like he had some form of urgency to get going was maybe High Point.
Yeah.
Other than that, yeah, it hasn't been the most exciting of wins.
His wins aren't that exciting, aren't they? Which, and I mean, Jeremy was like that. You're too young to remember, but I bet you watch heaps of replays. Jeremy, yeah. It's very Jeremy. He just get out the front and just go and just manage. Well, you're just gone, you know?
I must say, though, like when I've watched, it's different rewatching old races, even if they were boring, because I never lived it. So it doesn't have that aura around it.
Yeah, yeah. See, I even for me, man, like, because I only got the news of Jeremy in magazines, man. I couldn't watch that shit. There was nowhere. You couldn't even buy the VHSs or anything here. Like, there was, if you were very, very lucky, you might go to a big dealership that had a VHS playing on the wall. You know, had a video playing on the wall of a Supercross. That's, you know, yeah. Maybe once a year you'd see a little glimpse. You wouldn't see it, man. So,
yeah.
You know, there's still 80s and 90s races. I still find ones that I never saw and get to watch them for the first time still, you know.
Oh, so okay.
Even early 2000s ones, there's, you know, because we couldn't watch it, you know. Like I remember definitely Chad's era, if you had the premium pay TV, as we used to call it, or that, so basically for US listeners, that was what we called cable pay TV. If you had like the premium setup with all the, I think, ESPN and everything, you could watch the Supercross main events, I think just the mains. Because I remember a mate of mine would go to his rich mate's house who had cable to watch Chad, you know, and then he'd tell me about the race and that sort of thing. But that was, you know, unless you had a rich friend, it was like rich people had that, you know. It's like if you had a rich friend, like, you know, no normal people could afford to have that TV back then. So yeah. You just couldn't watch it. It was just magazines, man. So
but, I pretty much learned a bunch of riders through PS2 games. So like I had Jeremy McGrath's Supercross World.
Yeah.
So that's like, I want to say it's like a 98 or 99 game.
Yeah.
And then like MXRS ATV Unleashed and Untamed. And then outside of that, at school in the library, there's always a motocross book.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I always, when we used to have to rent books out, I just get that one every time. And it was like Stewart and Reed mostly, and a bit of Carmichael, maybe like a Villeman or McGrath in there.
Yeah.
And it would have been when Dungey was 62 on an RMZ 250. That's the era that book was.
Yeah.
That's pretty all I knew, probably up until I had access to YouTube at like, what, probably when I was around 11 or 12 years old, so 2012, 2013.
Yeah.
But
You
yeah,
laugh,
other
man.
than
You wouldn't remember dial up internet. So
oh God, no.
I can't even anyone that's experienced it, they yeah, you have to have experienced it to understand how bad it was and how slow it was and how frustrating it was. We got our very first PC. I'm just trying to, when you're a dad, you calculate events on your kids' ages, you know. So I'm just working it back from how old my young bloke was. Well, he was a baby, so it's 21 years ago, yeah. So we got our first PC, the big box, you know, the big white box monitor and all that. Fucking huge hard drive, you know, all that. And we got the dial-up internet through whoever. And the very first thing I look up is Supercross. And there was two sites I could find. Only two. There was two, right? Oh,
wow.
So there was supercross.com, which RJ, I don't know if RJ started that or he wrote for it or he was involved in it. And it would have like still pictures and an RJ story and a couple of little reports. It was like, it was so like, but that was fucking amazing, man. It was like, fuck, look at this. This is so cool. But if the dial up was having a bad day, man, you could punch that in the you know, whatever it was, www.supercross and all this stuff. Yeah, all that. Man, you could go out of the room for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and come back in, and it'd still be buffering and loading that one page.
Oh, jeez.
if the dial-up was busy or it was having a bad day, man, sometimes you just couldn't get it at all, you know. And the only other site was Mathis's site, which was, I think it was already called Pulp. I think it was called Pulp MX, and it was just like a...
Or was it the one he had before Pulp?
No, I think it was called Pulp by then, but it was, or it might have been something else before that, yeah. And it had a lot like Canadian stuff and all that sort of thing and American stuff and that sort of thing. That was the your two choices. So you'd look up Suzuki's and Honda's and all the brands. You could look up their websites and look at pictures of the new bikes and all that. That was exciting, you know. There might be a little story on Chad on the Yamaha Australia site or something like that, you know. It's like you get to read that and see. Yeah, so yeah, old times, man. Yeah. Anyway, we better get back on track, eh? You get me talking about old stuff, man, and we're I would never stop. So yeah, man. So Birmingham, yeah. So basically, yeah. Coop with the second, your man Kenny with the third, and then Tom. And although at Birmingham, the thing with Tom was, you know, Birmingham the easy whoops or the no whoops?
No, the no whoops.
The no whoops.
They built the team track. No whoops, no supercross triple.
Yeah, so that was the thing on Tom because he won Daytona and then he won Birmingham and it was like, yeah, let's see him in the whoops. So and then Cam was second, Seth was third, which shocked me when I looked up just the results before. Even that's only a month ago. That he obviously came back to third after the Deegan incident. So yeah,
you go through the vault and Seth's podium records and
yeah, it is, isn't it?
And Supercross more so is surprisingly good. He hasn't got one outdoors, but indoors it's pretty good.
Yeah. Yep. And but yeah, the story of that week was definitely Deegs and Seth's mum and Cody Shock getting punted and having his cracked collarbone broken in the last corner. Which brings us on to Indy, man. So Indy and Cody Shock's back with a plated collarbone. And I think I wrote down he ended up what did he end up with? He ended up like, was it fifth? I think I haven't written it down, but I think he ended up fifth at Indy with a plated collarbone. So
the Triple Crown, wasn't it?
Yeah, so that was a Triple Crown, and yeah, I think in the wash with the three scores, he ended up fifth. So yeah, and he was remember from that week he was doing who's the super doctor? Doc G, is that it?
Dr. G.
Had him doing push-ups like an hour after surgery or something like that.
That's unreal.
The Indy Triple Crown, man, Jet goes 1-1-1. And after that, everyone's just like, pack this up, like shut the door. This is like, people are talking about him winning out, and that didn't even seem unlikely. That was like, yeah, he fucking probably will, like
seemed more likely than unlikely.
It really did. Because the Triple Crown was probably, well, not the last, but I'd say the second last thing that he needed to tick off to say, because, it had been a bit of a, he'd had a few struggles with the Triple Crown, and then he just goes 1-1-1 and off. Like, really, the only thing he hasn't ticked off now is winning a Fair Dinkum Mudder. So that's probably the one thing where the others can still hang their hat on. And I think we've only got like I don't think, have we got any roofed stadiums left? No.
All open.
All open, and that's including like East Rutherford and Philly. We're going to Philly, aren't we?
Yep, and Boston, which, next round as well.
Yeah, which we are up, up in the part of the states where they probably get more rain, I guess, I mean, the Californian ones were bad luck, man. Like, this Cali's probably got some of the best weather in the world, and they just, that's just one of those things,
Well, you mentioned Philly. Can I test your old history knowledge?
Yeah, man. So
we had two Philly Supercrosses in history, and only one person's won them.
Oh, dude. Nah, I couldn't tell
Yamaha?
You. How far back? How far back are we going for that? Give me a
early 80s. Early 80s. I think it was 80.
Oh, early 80s.
Jeez, early to mid 80s and around
is
there.
Is it that long ago? Wow. Okay. So if it's early 80s, I'm probably going to go with RJ.
Nope.
No. And it was a Yamaha, early 80s Yamaha.
Mm-hmm.
So RJ, if not RJ, then Glover.
Yep.
Yeah.
Brock Glover's won both of them. So yeah, Yamaha's undefeated in Philly.
There you go. No, that's a good sign for Eli and Coop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jesus, that long ago. Wow.
Yep. They had back nice, they had two rounds of 1980.
Yeah, oh, no, sorry. Yeah.
Sorry. Glover's won one. Mike Bell won the other.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So both Yamahas. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So Bell would have won in 80.
They were both in 80.
Oh, they had two there in 80.
Mm.
Yeah.
I've got the top five on my phone, just in my.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Let it rip.
Infinite notes. Mike Bell, Jim Gibson, Steve Wise, Mark Barnett, Block Glover for the first one.
Yeah.
Second one, Brock Glover, Ken Howerton, Mike Bell, Marty Tripes, Steve Wise.
Nice. Nice. Cool, man. Nice one.
Mm. So, only ever been a Yamaha, Honda, and Suzuki on the podium.
Yeah. Which, yeah, well, there was...
I can't see that changing anyways.
Not much... Not much chance of Austrian bikes getting on the podium in the '80s, man. That was
not even a cowie in the top five.
There's a few of them about, Well, man, see, like in like 1980, cowie hadn't even come on strong yet, man. Like, It was really, I mean.
What years were Wardy coming on?
Like, Wardy was probably not even on a Cowie yet then. So, yeah, like, so Wardy won Supercross in 85 and 87. And he was very good on the Cowie 125 beforehand, but that was only outdoors because there was no 125 Supercross. So, yeah, but sort of, I guess, yeah, so probably from that sort of 85 through to, I think Wardy might have, Wardy was definitely around in 91, maybe a little bit in 92 even. So, yeah, but they, yeah, really before Wardy, there was, yeah, they didn't win much at all, really, you know, so they'd win bits and pieces here and there, like, you know, David Bailey was on Kelly at one stage before he got picked up by Honda. And, you know, you go way back into the 70s and, like, Brad Lackey was winning things on Cowies. And probably the biggest Cowie star early days in like, the in the 70s and early 80s was Jim Weinert.
Was he the one that ran the full pedal at...
Yes, man. Nickname was the Jammer. And, yeah, he won a full paddle like the dudes running out in the sand dunes at Glamis. He ran one of them. And they ridiculous. got banned afterwards. So yeah, there's a really good old photo of it, which I'm sure you've seen. Yeah, where he's sort of airborne, and you can like just see the paddle just throwing shit. Yeah, but yeah, he actually ran one of them once. Yeah, the Jammer. So he was probably Cowie's. He would have run races for Cowie, but yeah, as far as like you go back to those days, man, and like the Suzuki and like in like 1980, Suzuki and Yamaha were the bikes, you know, and then a couple of years later, Honda hit their straps, and then they were the bikes for the next 20 years, you know. Yeah. So, but yeah, 70s into very early 80s, yeah, man, Yamaha and Suzuki, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting with Kawasaki is we think of them as a powerhouse brand, right?
Yeah.
But really, outside the USA, success is quite scattered for the brand.
Yeah.
Like in the world titles, like, well, I get one here and there, but they were never really on par with Yamaha or Honda worldwide. Like, I even looked up the other day, even in Aussie, the last moto win was an MX-1 for a Cowie was 2016.
Who was that? Like Marmont? Was that when Marmont was there or something?
So last overall win was Matt Moss in 16. That was round one at Horsham. Yeah. But the last moto win was and podium was Kyle Peters at Toowoomba.
Yeah.
That same year.
Yeah. So they never really had, I mean, for a little while, when TC was, when our man Stilly was, it was one of the mechanics when TC, that's Troy Carroll for those that don't know, when he was running the Cowie team there for a while in sort of early 2010s, and he got Marmont on the team, and
that was like
things were cranking up a bit then, like, but yeah, still not sort of, I don't know, you know, what all happened there, but yeah, there was a fair bit of support for a bit there, but then yeah, Australia for a long time it's always been about the red and the blue, man, isn't it? So the two big teams are the red and the blue. Yeah, cool, man. Your guy Kenny, he went 2-2-3 at the Triple Crown, hey, and he was good, man, too. He was good. He just wasn't, you know, he was so good, man, but there was just someone better. Like if Jet decided to play basketball as a kid instead of race dirt bikes, we'd be raving about Kenny's races at that Triple Crown, man, because he looked good, man. Like, yeah, so it's just, you know, and he really, he kept Jet real honest. A few times there, which was, and you know, we always never really know. You can't tell how hard Jet's pushing Can you? You never really
know. That's
the
worst part.
You never really know. You see some things and it's just obscene, you know.
It's like a Wyndham. No matter what position he was, he always looked the same.
Yeah, that's it. A bit like Wyndham too. You never really knew how hard K-Dub was pushing it either, did you? Yeah, very sort of, you know, not inconsistent, but I don't know, hard to read, I guess, yeah.
Do you follow his training facility on Instagram?
I do, man. Not probably closely. I don't know. You know, you get your algorithms, things pop up more than others.
I just love seeing the videos. He'll just jump on someone's bike with just helmet on, and he'll go through like a big whip or like nail a set of whips or something, and like New Balances or something.
I've seen him in sneakers, shorts, and a flanny. He's one of my favorites. Yeah, I reckon me and K-Dub would get along real well. Yeah,
maybe a little too well.
That's it. Yeah, cool, man. But yeah, the MVP man of Indy was definitely Cody Shock.
I agree.
And we had so you know, but Cam won the 250s. He went 1, 2, 3. Tom backed it up with a solid result, but he did crash in the whoops. So that sort of everyone was judging that for sure. You know, I was judging from the couch. You know,
yeah, I wasn't judging too harshly because he did change his lineup that one lap for where he was going.
Yeah,
and it would happen to anyone swapping lines. Those routes were just clapped as like.
Yeah,
the chances of changing a line, you don't know. It could be slightly more narrow, more grabby, more chewed out. You just don't know.
Yeah, and then Deegs 2-1-6, and we had nice boy Deegs on the podium at.
Thank the Lord Christ.
Oh, we had nice boy. Yeah, he was. Instead of. I can't remember what he said on. What did he say after Birmingham? He was
Alpha Blood or something.
Alpha Blood or something.
Yeah.
And then he was thanking the Lord and all grateful and polite and like he was, you know.
His podium interviews are as bipolar as Kanye West at this stage.
But it's entertaining, man. Like he's entertaining.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's good. It's good for the sport, man. It's entertaining. I'll just cringe, and his dad's like even worse, and I'll just cringe. But then, you know, sometimes I'll just laugh about it. You know, I don't take stuff too seriously. Yeah. But
when I cringe, I cringe at when Jordan Smith does an interview and he lists off the sponsors, and it's like, oh, come on, man. Like the team, but like when getting deep into like 100% to what Escondido,
yeah,
I don't know,
it's Walmart for undies or something. We've come a fair way. Think back, I don't know, five, six, 7 years ago, nearly every podium speech was a sponsors list.
Like my first moto video we ever had was Bar to Bar 2011.
Yeah.
And the 250s are always more like just race highlights rather than the full talk over documentary style.
Yeah.
And you're like Barsha and Hanny and Sipes just, rattling all the sponsors off. And it's like,
That was the
norm back then.
And, you know, and like that whole sort of period of the Ryans, basically, the Ryans and Eli, you know, because Eli was like that when he was younger. He's loosened up like massively. Mm-hmm. In the last few years, but when he was younger, and even when Ando was younger and all that, it'd be just like sponsors. Marv was the same. Yeah, all those guys, it was just sponsors.
Marv would just go on a tangent about how good his breakfast was or something.
Marv like would that. Go too long. Yeah. Who goes long? Is Anstey got Marv covered? I think Anstey's got Marv covered on the long
It depends on the question. if you leave it sort of open ended, he'll just
could go be on. Could be recent.
He'll compare it to like some random GP in like Sweden or something like that. Oh, I remember that day.
I don't mind that, man. Look, I'll take that over RV looking like someone just ran over his dog. And he's just fucking, yeah. he's just won a supercross, you know.
Yeah,
he's just got $100,000 in his pocket, just won a supercross, and he looks like someone just ran over his dog. Everyone,
even like,
I'll take Max's interviews. Yeah,
like even from memory, like Cole Seeley when he won Houston in 2015 was like still pretty staged as well from memory.
Yeah, I reckon. Who changed it? Who started changing it first? Do you reckon? Who bucked that trend? Who can you think in the 450s who started just doing some different interviews than that?
Because
Coop was pretty bad early days. Coop was bad. He was just sponsors and didn't give you much.
Maybe a young Roxon. Or
maybe... Yeah, Kenny's different. I think Kenny definitely upped the game in the on the podium speeches, yeah, for sure. And I don't know. Dunge got a lot better towards the end, like heaps better. But yeah, I think probably Kenny. Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be people beforehand. Windham got pretty good near the end as well.
You think about it like now, like, you know, AP,
I know.
Hasn't happened this year, but Malcolm, AP.
I'd say probably J-Law maybe early days was an outlier, but.
Yeah, that was like that.
Or like Denny Stevenson or something like that.
In a different way, yeah. Oh, man, because you go way back, man, and the podiums were fucking wild. The podiums were wild. Like, you know, they'd be throwing they'd be kissing the trophy girls and throwing the trophy girls on their shoulder. And
who was that? One year he wanted to kiss the trophy chick.
They used to kiss the trophy chicks. Or every race, the whole time, like they just fucking into it.
Could you imagine a modern day Ron Lachine?
Ronnie would have done more than that. Ronnie would have took them all home. So yeah,
with court case, there would have been a court case or something. It'd be mainstream for something.
Yeah, and there's a pretty famous couple of ones. He did it more than once. Bob Hannah throwing the girl over his shoulder, and
I think that's what I was thinking of. Yeah,
he's got the girl over his shoulder and the trophy or the champagne in the other hand, and that sort of thing. It was wild, and there was, they'd still thank their sponsors and all that sort of thing, but it was pretty wild and relaxed.
The support back then was way more taboo.
Yeah, and that. Then things sort of got more professional, and especially when, like MC says, Ricky, they're all having fun, and then Ricky just fucked it all up. That's remember you've heard him say that. It's like we were all having such a good time, and then Ricky comes along, training like an animal, all serious, and then that's what everyone else had to do to beat him. And it's everyone got serious, you know. So and it started to. It's turned a bit, hasn't it? Where it's,
I feel like Pastrana probably would have even thrived more had Ricky not got so serious.
Yeah,
because he would have spelled the slot right and perfectly with the whole MC MX style of everything.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
you train, but you still had that personality. You still had fun.
Yeah, like Travis. Like leaving to go just all freestyle is one of the things in the history of the sport where I just like, fuck, I wish he didn't do that. You know, I mean, Look, he's like, it worked out good for him, man. That me as a fan and what I would have loved to have seen.
Yeah.
His talent was obscene, man. Like, obscene. Like, all the, if he stuck right to it, like, Ricky's got less titles, Chad's got less, and James has got less. That's, I really believe that. Yeah, that's how good Travis was. But, yeah. And, you know, and yeah, it's just amazing. And it's sort of, I don't know, like AC. Travis never won a premier class race. It's just fucking like the odds of that were just, there was no chance that, you know, like he was going to fucking win championships, you know? And that same as we sort of felt about AC, you know?
Like AC, even after his rookie year, when he got,
yeah,
he had two outdoor wins, like overalls. I was like, oh, okay, this is gonna be good build. And then, sort of went downhill for the worst. But
yeah,
you could pinpoint a time in any rider's career when you go, if this didn't happen, the sport looks different.
Travis's massive concussions is what sort of fucked him. But then the funny thing is, man, that's the big concussion derailed the motocross. He just got into something that's got just as bad a chance of getting concussions anyway. It's like,
oh, I know.
Doing backflips, man, you can still get pretty good. You still got a good chance of getting concussions, but
he only has to trip over now and he's out.
Yeah. Cool, man. Let's move on to Seattle. So Seattle and Coop gets it done, and suddenly
I was bummed though.
Well, yeah, so, but suddenly we're like, wow, like someone's after thinking Jet was like never going to lose again. You know? Yeah, I mean, not really, but you know, we're all a bit emotional, like fucking this kid, like he's just going to keep winning. And then all of a sudden, he doesn't win, and Coop gets it done, and that was a good race, man. That was a great race.
Like, oh yeah,
him and Chase to the end and all that. Like, wow, it's one of the closest finishes we've ever had, and that sort of thing. And it was Coop was in the other seat this time. He wasn't the hunter; he was the hunted, and he was struggling. Like you could see, he was struggling. You know, he was hanging off for dear life. And,
he had pump like morning wood. So.
That's it, man. That's it. That was definitely my favorite. Even the racing was great. Coop's comment on the podium was still my favorite thing of the whole weekend. Yeah. So that was great, man. Yeah.
No, it's probably my favorite race or battle, I should say, of the year. Obviously, my favorite race is Glendale with Kenny, of course, but
I think Seattle. I mean, I can remember I was just after Seattle, I was just fucking pumped. This is like, this is, you know, I mean, I'd always say it, but I'm just like, this is the fucking best sport in the world. Like, this is the fucking greatest thing ever. You know, I just have been really up and about to see that. You know, nothing better than a 450 battle in the main event in a close race and that sort of thing. Like, that's what we love, man. And then it was like, yeah, well, hang on, Jet's still human. You know, he's still human.
Yeah.
He's not an alien, you know? So breathe a little bit of life in. And then back west, man, Levi really stamped it. You know, I reckon from Seattle. That really stamped it. It's like, he is the man in the west. Which I never expected.
No, not at all.
I expected him to be like the third place guy behind the two old guys that he's in front of.
Oh, yeah. But
I expected it to be Smitty and RJ going at it and Levi to be, you know, that sort of third place guy. Would not have surprised me for him to win a race or a couple even, but to be... he's looked dominant at times, man. Dominant.
Yeah, I was expecting to be in that second, third place behind RJ, especially how A1 went with how dominant RJ was.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, he's got this now. Which you it can't look too much into the opener, can you?
It should be RJ's time this year.
100%.
This is the one. The start of the year is like this. This should be RJ's title. This should be his time. So,
do you know this? What this is reminding me of? 2016 Martin Davalos on Rockstar Husky.
Yeah,
it was looking good, and then a few things happened, and Malcolm got the best of him in the end. You got a couple of wins, podiums, and still didn't piece it together through dumb mistakes.
Marty had a bit of the loose aspect that RJ's got too, I guess.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a writing style match up there too.
There's a lot of similarities.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Yeah. Cool, man.
I won't speak too much because we've got a couple of East West showdowns. It's not That's over. Good. He's only what? How many points are you behind? Like 12?
It is 15.
15.
15 points. That's... Yeah. Levi 156, RJ 141.
Right.
So, you know, but I mean.
Not ideal, but with two showdowns, like, still up in the air, in my opinion.
You never know. You never know. Like, his teammate Seth might fucking clean everyone out in the first quarter or something. that wasn't all Seth's fault anyway, that last one.
But no.
I'm only joking about that. But you never know, man. Yeah, East-West shootouts. Who's got the East-West shootouts? Levi? Like, it just anything can happen. But just on form, on speed, who's got it?
On form and speed, I have you can't not put Levi at the top.
I think you have to, yeah.
Like McAdoo for good, but not Levi good.
Yeah.
Same as VL and Deegan. Yeah. Like, and then combine Hampshire, Shimoda, and Smitty. Like those other dudes, scramble them however you want the top five, but Levi, I think, is that step above.
Yeah. Triple crowns too. Sometimes, as you know, 250 like that. I mean, East-West showdowns, not triple crowns. East-West showdowns like that. You get someone coming out of the 250s that's just like wins that just you weren't even thinking in the picture. You know, like that would happen. Like, remember,
like Anstey last year.
Yeah, and. I think Thrasher done that. Thrasher's the sort of guy who'd come out and win it.
Yep, he won the final one, not last year, the year before.
Yeah, and
somewhere there.
Like Joe's finally got a couple of podiums. Things are starting to click, man.
I'm still not there on Joe though.
Huh? Still not I'm there. Still not, no. I'm not really either, but I want to be. I want to be there for Joe. Yeah, because he's. He's my guy, but yeah, he's you never know. At least he's on the improve, man. If nothing else.
From how the year started, definitely.
Yeah man, yeah. Cool. And then on St. Louis, man. So I was so pumped for Eli, man. That's basically the story of Eli's the story that in a couple of ways, he's the story for winning it, and then he's also the story for finally saying in the press conference that he tweaked his ankle a few weeks ago and he's been having all sorts of trouble with his ankle and he can't weight the pegs properly, and everyone's like, fuck, we would have liked to have known that. But
he's that's already got that one gammy foot, then you add another one.
But that is on brand. Sense. It's on brand for Eli to.
Oh, I know.
It's like, you know. But no, that was good, man. And he looked good. You know, Jet was the fastest guy out there, but you know, shit happens, and Eli wins, man. You know, as they say, the cash checks. the record books say Eli went 1-1-1. So, you know, the drama story of the weekend is Flaggate. Flaggate, man.
Oh, no.
What's your opinion, man? What's your opinion?
Let's see. I can look at it from many different angles. You're putting a flag on the inside of a jump where the main line is flare wide with ruts. You've got a white flag waving in front or a checkered flag. Yeah. That's the one you spy because it's moving.
Yep.
And then you've got some garden gnome standing on the top of the jump, sticking it out. Which also, I don't think it should have been a medics flag at all. Freezy's bike's laying up against some tough blocks. Like, a caution yellow is all it needed to be.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And, my take, the flagging was shit. But they have to do the penalties as per the
book. Yeah.
You can't, you know, and this is coming from me, who is like me and rules are like fucking oil and water, man. Like, I am not a rules guy. Like, I live my whole life in the fucking gray area, right? So black and white rules aren't for me. But in a sport, when you have a code of rules, especially when it comes to flag infringements in motorsport, you can't have any gray area. It's just,
no.
you did it or you're not, you know? So they had to do what they had to do. But it does, it sucks for those guys because the flagging was absolutely shit. And hopefully the flagging, you know, whoever's in charge of that just learns from it, I guess, to not.
They should have, though. I feel they should have sent someone to the corner.
To the corner, yeah. There should have been
an entry of the turn.
There should have been a red cross at the corner, yep. Because where it was, like, man, no chance. Like, I know Eli did see it. Some people did see it, but I mean,
the ones that saw it were the ones by themselves, though.
Yeah. You know, like there's
AP and Anderson and Webb were all in that battle.
Mm.
I don't know. Yeah, also, I'm sure they could have walked out a bit further on the jump.
Yeah.
But hey, but he's standing behind the already waving flags.
Yeah. It was pretty bad. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. But hard case, though. Typical Anderson style, get stocked not once, but twice.
Yeah. But the best bit, man, the bit that I was just fucking grinning like a Cheshire cat, man. Grinning like I'm fucking grinning right now thinking about it again. The fact that it was Vince. It was fucking Vince.
Dude.
Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, there's this fucking bike there, and then I realized it was fucking Vince. So he's not even fucking riding, man, and he's fucking...
And
it was fantastic, man. I love it.
90% of any issues this year in the 450 class, it's like linked to Vince somehow. Like, I'm sure the Baltimore Bridge collapsing is related to Vince somehow. Maybe he drove his car over it or something.
Yeah, it is fucking... It's so funny, man. Things like that, you know, I get a funny thing about a person or a topic stuck in my head, man, and I just lose it for you know, that it's an ongoing joke for like forever for me, you know, and these Vince things, especially this year, man, it entertains me, man. I can't get enough of it. I don't want him to ever do anything that's going to hurt someone, but the drama and the funny things and all that, man, I can't get enough of it, and the way that he just doesn't give a fuck either.
He just shrugs it off.
He just doesn't give a fuck.
Which I think infuriates people even more.
Oh, it does, man. It's great, man. Like, I can't even think of anybody that's ever been like him, or even in other sports that's ever been. I think they broke the fucking mold. Like, the things. Even what was even funny was he was even getting blamed for what Freckle did. Ricky's saying Freezy caused that and all this thing on the broadcast, and I'm like, dude, that was Freckle. But Freezy was right there. Freezy was right there, and then of course the T-bone incident. Well, if in a roundabout way, Vince caused that as well.
I put partial blame of that on the track,
yeah,
and specifically where that inside picnic table thing is. The fact it was dragged so far away from the top of the corner, you're able to intersect people way harder and virtually have head-ons.
Yeah,
if that was dragged 1 or 2 meters closer to the turn, Barsha would not have been able to go in on that angle. He would have been forced to go a bit straighter. Maybe he hits Jet still, but it'd be on the rear.
Yeah.
Jet flops off, Jet gets squirmy, pulls out of it, or whatever.
That was brutal, man. That was
brutal. I was thinking broken hand.
Yeah, I thought he was in big trouble. Like, and I felt just sick in the guts, man. Like, I had that feeling, that real stomach just dropped. Like, fuck this. You know, you never want to see anyone hurt. And
like, out of all times, Jets made mistakes
and everything. Like that, it's the fucking last thing you want to see.
Mm.
And it was so violent, man. It was such a fucking full center, dead center, straight on T-bone. You know, like there was no angle to it at all.
Like, and, to be fair, like all of Jet's mistakes or whatever controversies this year, when that happened to him, I go, ooh. I rub my hands. Like when he tipped over his handle, I'm like, ooh. Yeah. But that one, I'm like,
ooh. Nah, that one, yeah. That's. Yeah, when Jet has a tip over, it's like, cool, this will make it more exciting, you know.
For sure.
I'm all for that. But shit like that, that was awful. And old Bam actually seemed pretty legitimately like really sorry and a bit shook up himself about it. So
I mean, he broke Tyler Bowers' leg and was not sorry about it.
Yeah.
So it is the fact he's sorry.
Man, there is a bit of a new Bam, though. There is a little bit of a new Bam.
Mm.
His record is pretty clean the last couple of years. It's pretty clean. He's been
the last bad one I can think of is Barsha and Mookie at the final 2 years ago, where he just sent a punch to Mookie, and Mookie went catapulting off the side of his bike in it.
Yeah,
Salt Lake, I believe. But other than that, yeah, hasn't been too bad.
He's been pretty good. I remember him saying there was a bit of a conscious effort for that, and yeah, he has been heaps better, man, heaps better.
Unless he's around Anderson.
Yeah, but that's a whole different thing, because they're almost as bad as each other. So
adding fire to fire. I love though in his response video how he said it's not his style.
Yeah, that
it's like your name's Bam Bam.
Fuck, guys! Like, who proofread that? Did someone proofread it? It was so good. All you needed to do was get that fucking script and just cross out the "it's not my style" bit.
And it for sure.
And then it was a perfect apology. That just like, because I'm listening to it, I'm like, oh, he looks really sorry, and it's good. He's owning up, and I'm like, I was really positive. But then when he said it's not my style, I just started laughing. And it just sort of cheapened the whole apology a little bit for me. But, you know, I mean, it hasn't really been his style of late, I guess. But, yeah, his nickname is Bam Bam. It's, it's still got the nickname. You still got the reputation doesn't just go away that easy. Huh? So
no, I've just had a brainchild. Arena Cross Dash for Cash, Freezy versus 250 Bam versus Ando, Prime Ando. So
your 1v1v1 that they do.
Yeah, they run at the Arena Cross, the Dash for Cash.
Those three. Ooh.
It could starts get hairy.
Starts count for a lot. Starts count for a lot.
But Freezy always races behind him.
Vince gets the start.
Mm-hmm.
But I reckon that out of Ando and Bam, I reckon Bam gets around Vince easier. Bam is
especially 250 Bam.
Bam is all time probably the best takeout, like accurate takeout guy, where he can put someone on the ground with minimal effort, perfect execution, and hardly even fucking slow himself down. He's elite at that. So I can see him putting, Vince gets a start, Bam puts him down, but then you don't know. They're pretty quick races, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Ando starts have been off, but then we're talking prime Ando, so yeah, I don't know. I think
250 Bam, I think of like 2011 between him and Dino. Yeah. And there was like, they were trading medal every race.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. I think my money would be on Bam. On Bam there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, too, I think Arena Cross would really suit him as well. Whereas Ando.
Arena Cross or Abu Dhabi Supercross?
Yeah. Ando, that very flowy style. Ando's not really a stop start guy. I could see.
But he can turn him on a dime.
He can, but he's, yeah, that sort of.
If the corner allows for it, like if it's real
more,
hard.
Being a bit more flowy is sort of, peak Ando's being a bit more flowy, I reckon, whereas Bam is point and shoot. It's like hard on the brakes, hard on the throttle, like real arena cross. That said, man, there's probably, I'd probably put some of the arena cross legends of the past, if you put them in there, they still win. You put the Bear in there, man. You put Budman in there, you know.
Jacob Hayes,
you know. Like, and some of these guys just fucking animals, you know. Even someone like, you go back to like Rusty Holland, who's like the infamous, probably the most psycho arena cross guy of all time, you know, with as far as takeouts and just, you know, just fucking murdering people every fucking night, you know. There's some of those guys there. It's a different sport, man. Did you watch the arena cross finals, man?
I haven't been able to watch the finals yet, but I have watched whatever I can on Instagram and stuff. I'll get around to eventually.
I finally figured out how to watch it, and I got the app and all that sort of thing. The final wasn't super exciting, really, compared to some of the other rounds. It wasn't super awesome because Peters sort of had to manage a little bit. Brees couldn't do much. Couldn't do much.
Yeah, Arena Cross, the way their
point system works. So.
Yeah, Arena Cross I try to watch, but it's not ranked on my list. And I've got a big list I watch.
Yeah, I know, man. Yeah, so because that, like, I love it. Like, I'm so glad I get to watch it, man. But like, I'm really US focused with my love of the sport is really sort of based.
Yeah,
I like all the US stuff, and then everything else comes afterwards. Whereas you, as obviously you're a big MXGP guy and. And
four wheel racing, I'm getting into NASCAR. I have a reason to follow NASCAR now with Shane Van Gisbergen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Got the IndyCar with Scott Dixon, Scott McLaughlin.
Is Dixon a Kiwi?
Marcus Archer. Dixon's a Kiwi. Yep. And a young fella in Marcus Armstrong.
Kiwi drivers, man. It's fucking unbelievable how many good drivers come out of that country. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Pound for pound. Best drivers in the world as far as four-wheel stuff. Like, if you ran the stats, fucking unbelievable how good Kiwi drivers are.
Even Brendan Hartley in World Endurance Championships, doing well there. Liam Lawson on the verge of F1, like, and
A lot of people wouldn't even know that Bruce McLaren, who of McLaren, was a Kiwi.
then
Yep.
it's not even
There you
talked about
go.
that much, not even that well known here.
There's
Like,
a
they just assume he's a pom.
there's a little bit of trivia for listeners that I know a lot of people love F1 nowadays. I think modern F1 is shit. I liked it when I was a kid. I think it was cool back then. The last F1 I watched Melbourne about 3 or 4 years ago. Now it's long
Live
ago.
or on the TV?
Just on the TV. I've never been.
Yeah. I don't ever normally watch full races. I'll just watch highlight packages.
Now I wouldn't go to the Albert Park, man. Mostly because that part of Melbourne is the biggest son of a bitch place in the state, right? For a start, I hate Albert Park, Port Melbourne, South Melbourne, all that part of the world. It's an absolute fucking pain in the ass to get in and out of.
Good fun on electric scooters.
Because it's sort of, anyway, without going to the Melbourne traffic and getting your way around Melbourne, it's a prick of a joint. And
I bet.
then so to go to an event there, I'd have to really, really love it. They cut a motocross track around there, They do like what the they do a motocross of nations there, and they knock up a track like they did at what did they the Netherlands,
Assen.
like they did at Assen, do that at Albert Park. I'll go to that. I'll go to
Well,
that
they're meant
for
to do similar thing to that in Finland 2 years ago at the Kimi Ring, but
sure.
that project lost all its funds and road track never got finished, so motocross never happened there. I mean, they've had MXGP with like Losail and the Qatar. That was like on the infield of the F1 slash MotoGP track there. They had one at a track in Germany in 2013. I forget the name of it, but it's happened before, definitely. My dad raced a Supercross years ago in conjunction with V8s when they did street circuit in Wellington.
Cool, man. I love it. Things like that are cool, man. The when they just sort of pop one up in an outdoor area and that sort of thing is probably something that never really happens in America, I guess, because you get because they got every college has got a kick-ass stadium and that sort of thing. Whereas a lot of parts in a lot of the countries, there's nothing like that. You got soccer grounds, rugby grounds, AFL grounds. They got like one grandstand, that sort of thing. There's not. It's very, very open. I guess it's a little bit like our Newcastle Supercross, isn't it? It's got that sort
Did
of
they have a
feel.
Bathurst Supercross a few years ago?
Jeez, I don't know, man.
I'm sure they did, like early to mid 2010s. I
It's not
feel like
ringing a
there
bell.
was, I've seen Bathurst and results for Aussie Supercross.
Yeah, they probably would have ran it at the rugby ground there. There's a big, pretty big complex there, sort of the other side of town from where Mount Panorama is, other side of town.
Okay.
There's a couple of rugby fields there and that sort of thing where where their team and that plays there. I saw Cold Chisel there one. That's why I know the area. So I saw Cold Chisel there many years ago. Best concert I've ever been to, man. So yeah.
Okay.
It was fucking excellent. Cool, man. Cool. What are we thinking for the let's grab these points, man. What are we thinking? Things coming up, man. So we've already talked a bit about East West shootouts, what we think there. Jets got this, yeah. Failing unless he is more injured than we've been led on, that you never know, or catastrophe. I know the points have closed up, man, but
Yeah.
there's only so many times he can have just all this bad luck and shit going on.
Oh, no.
You know. What? I think this is as close as it gets myself. But and I hope I'm wrong. I hope Coop wins the next two, and then it's like, fuck, this is, you know, it's like, whoa. Mm. But, I mean, it's really, you know, 8 points for Coop. Chase is 20 out. That's just, it's way too far. I mean,
although he was further out this point.
I know. I know. Yeah, that's it. That's, you know, Lightning could strike again with the leaders, the two leaders going out in successive fucking weeks like last year.
And Kenny just wins out and wins the title somehow.
Yeah. But yeah, man, does Eli win another race? I think he does now.
I don't want him to.
No,
I don't. Well, get this. Carmichael's last Supercross win, St. Louis. Stewart's last win, St. Louis 2014. It would fit in there perfectly with St. Louis history.
I get that, man, but on the history thing. McGrath
loses 97 in St. Louis with a flat tire.
Man, I want Eli to win in Denver if that's his last one. I mean, I hope he comes back next year. I hope he comes back next year. I do. Who knows? Really, it's who knows? Nothing would surprise me. But if this is the end, I want him to win in Denver where it went to shit last year, and it's his home race. Or home state, you know, Cortez is a long way from Denver, but
yeah, home state. I suppose I can get behind that.
That's a good story, Denver. You know, that'd be cool. You know, and that sort of thing. But yeah, hopefully, I hope Coop proves me wrong and fights. Yeah, I want the last round, close points, anything can happen. Yeah, I want the story, man.
I want a Sexton win before the end of the year.
Yeah, yeah, and that could happen too. You know, like it almost happened. It gets harder and harder, but yeah, you know, like
obviously, I want the world would want Kenny to win out, but yeah, it's so much voodoo weird shit's happened this year with Kenny.
Yeah.
Like, even just down to punching a hole in the radiator last round, like, how often does that happen?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Like Phil's radiator hose coming off.
Like,
have you ever heard of that? Ever? Have you ever heard of a fucking radiator hose coming off mid-race? Ever in any motorcycle racing at all, like ever in the history of ever. I've never heard like
radiator hoses in general.
If you forget to tighten one up, the fucker blows off real quick, like you know, like
there's a lot of pressure in there.
They don't fucking just stick there loose.
I've seen them like radiators get tweaked and the pipe or whatever the engine burns a hole into the hose.
Mm-hmm. Or the outlet off the bottom tank get like smashed off and bent. There's like things like that. Yeah. But just the clamp coming off the neck, like just fucking doesn't happen. So
no.
I don't know. The only one I could think of is you know, you would have over tightened clamps before and sort of they don't strip like a bolt, but they sort of strip like a bolt. You know what I mean?
They don't actually tighten up as tight as they should anymore.
They tighten up, but they don't tighten quite as good, and they're sort of weakened and probably could vibrate looser, maybe. That's the only thing I could think of.
But I don't see those vibrating loose enough to the point where they'd fall off.
Yeah. Oh, you just start to leak and squirt a bit, but yeah, not just come off and just lose everything. But yeah.
I think Phil put it down to his contact with RJ.
With RJ, yeah. He did say that he saw that he said that on Pulp, yeah, that was the same side of the bike where RJ hit him in that. So you never know, like fork lug hits it in the perfect spot to break it. Or so, I don't know.
Or he falls onto a peg slightly in the wrong spot. Many different scenarios. But how was it saying that his bike seized on the triple?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I'd have to go back and watch how that worked out, even if we have footage of it. I don't know if we have footage, but like,
they're he's supposed to think of Wageman at
he's lucky that he
race and yeah. few years ago.
He's lucky that he only cased it, man, because that a lot of the time that's like ejecto cedo fucking.
Yeah, like Wageman at the pulp race in Denver 2 years ago, whatever. Like, where Lou locked midair and he had to step through the bars.
You're stepping through the bars and kissing your ass goodbye. Yeah. Like that's. And then so 250s, man, how's that going to play out? We've already talked about, I think we both agree, man, that the West, Levi's going to win the West, you know, barring major misfortune. The East is the spicy one, man. The East is the spicy one.
I'm praying that Anstey turns it around somewhat and gets near a podium at least. Because first round was good, and then it's just been a shit show.
Red plate.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been awful, hasn't it? Yeah. And, I don't know, man. You know, like it's – Pierce Brown's in the mix. How about that? You wouldn't have – Would you
– never...
if I hadn't looked up the points and wrote them down here for the show – I wouldn't have even thought to mention him, you know?
And who would have picked Piers Brown as Mr. Consistent? Well, it's been like 5-5-5-4-4-4
It's been a fucking great season for him, really, hadn't it? When you think about it.
It's like a good building year.
He's the sort of guy that could win the fucking East-West just out of nowhere.
He could do with a good start, for sure. Yeah,
he'd just pop up and win it. Because, you know, East-West, you get funny stuff, man, because people are they're more focused on the guys in a points battle are focused on their coast, you know. So, you know, like they're not too worried if someone beats them from the other coast, you know, when they're in a points battle. So, and then, you know, Deegs is a fair way back. That I could see him still like winning several races, you know, and that sort of thing. But he's probably just too far back. But yeah, Tom and Cam. So yeah, I think you got to go with Cam mostly just because of the whoops. You know, if we had some more of these tracks with easy whoops, then Tom looked fucking good. So I don't know. Or am I being too hard on him? Am I being too hard on him about the whoops? I bet he's been practicing. I'm like, fuck. So,
I don't think the whoops you can point to as big a factor. The fact that there's nine of them.
Yeah,
like Villeman said in Pulp that one time. If they had nine whoops when Marv was in his prime, like
Marv would have
game over.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Then the next John Michelle Bale, maybe.
Yeah. That said, though, I want Cam to win. I want Pro Circuit with two number one plates. I love that. Love that story. Like, I love Pro Circuit. I love Cowies. I love Pro Circuit. I love the team. I got a mate that works for the team, so I'm invested. I feel so bad that they've just. Fucking hell, man. Mitch, the bad luck that guy's had and the injuries and the problems that team's had.
Even this year, though, with like Faulkner and Boland.
Fucking so bad, man. And so that's such a great story for them. I want to see that, you know. Even though I've got a Yamaha now, I've still got a couple of cows in the shed. And I love everything about Pro Circuit, the brand, the history, the everything, man. So,
Think back to the last time Mitch won both titles. You'd have to go
mid-2000s. Because it's Justin Hill, What year was that?
Like 17.
17, was it? Yeah, about then, yeah. And then for two, man, it's... Nah, I'd have to look it up. It's hard to even think about it, but you're going to be going back a long way, I reckon.
Yeah. Why am I 1-10? I can't think of who else won 10. It has to be pre 2011, though.
Yeah.
Because, 11 to 13, there was at least a Honda or a KTM. Yeah. 14 was Ando. 15.
Who was on the other coast for Stu?
And 125s?
50F.
Let me pull this up. I need to know this.
Yeah, we need to know now. So look
I need to know.
This is interesting one. Yeah.
It'll have to be mid-2000s, possibly Townley and Villopoto.
Oh, yeah, could be, yeah.
Let me get it.
Yeah.
That's my guess, Townley and Villopoto.
Yeah, that sounds doable, man, yeah.
Let's see. Great radio.
It's all good, man. It's all good. It's an interesting little... interesting little statistic, man.
Here we go. Oh, no. That's wins.
While you're looking up that, man, I'll talk about I'm heading to Horsham for round two of the Aussie Nationals this weekend. So,
that's going to be good.
That should be a bit of fun, yeah. Yep.
What's that thing you like?
It's only 2.25 drive, two and a quarter hours drive.
Okay. So
she's real easy. That's nothing, yeah. And it just is a cross country drive, you know. So just across the Mallee and into the Wimmera, and easy drive. And I think the kids coming with me. We'll just get up early Sunday morning and go. That sort of thing. So makes it a cheap one too, no accommodation and all that sort of thing. So that should be a bit of fun.
Sweet. I've got it here.
You got it, man?
My first guess was right, 2010.
Yep.
Weimer and Purcell.
Ah, righto. Yeah.
Cool. And then before that was Townley and Villopoto in 07.
Yep.
Then you had Tedesco and Langston in 5. Tedesco, I guess you can't count Tedesco and Stewart because Stewart was Chevy Trucks rather than Mitch's team.
Oh, of course he was. Yeah, too. He was. Yeah, cool.
That's pretty much the only ones I can recognize.
Mm.
Once it gets 90s, 125s, my knowledge gets a bit shaky around there. There was all sorts of weird and wonderful teams back then.
There was definitely a peak Honda one there for Pro Circuit. Mm. I can.
A few Yamaha Troy ones in there as well.
MC and Swink would have been Mitch's first one of those. Cool, man. Cool. You got anything else on the old? For the review, man, what else you got? What have I missed? You've always got a couple of things.
Was the 30-second board check before in the last show?
Oh, let me
what
think.
Race that? What race is that?
Which one was that?
I feel like it was after Daytona.
It was Birmingham. It was
Birmingham.
Because she said... Sweet Home Alabama on the interview that someone... Who got
Dirt Shark.
Dirt Shark. Yeah, someone got the interview and she said, Sweet Home Alabama. And she was just like, no fucks given about the whole thing, really, wasn't she? And, man, Fucking hell. Yeah, I forgot that. Yeah. That was crazy, man. Crazy, you know. I mean, there's not much you can say other than like it was a monumental fuck up on someone's part, you know. Like, whether it was I doubt it was hers, really. You know, you'd think that there'd be people giving direction, I guess.
I'm sure she had an earpiece or something and
yeah, yeah, but somebody didn't give her the right direction on on the timing and what was going on there. So, but really, man, like, it's funny because she didn't get hurt, so it's funny.
Mm.
But fuck, it could have been bad, man.
Mm, like, I can't ever think of some bad. The 3 second chick got hit. I can think of countless times photographers or marshals got cleaned out.
Photographers, particularly, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I remember seeing. There's been particularly, like, especially like outdoor stuff, you know, old days outdoor stuff where, like, she's fucking running, man. Like, she's got it. You know, they've cut it fine at times with where they've been standing and that sort of thing in the old days. And it's like, you know, they'd be running across ruts and they're fucking going for it to get out of the way. And it's been a bit too close. But no, that was pretty crazy, man. What else? What else have I forgotten? I reckon that's about it.
Basically it. I suppose there's a few silly scenes and rumors that have popped up as well.
They're all too early, that man, aren't they? Like, yeah.
I'm looking
all too early. The only one that's real interesting is probably still Prado, because I think there's enough spoken about Prado to Cowie that it's got to have some wheels. Everything
I've been thinking Kitchen path into 450s.
Yeah.
Like Anderson's got next year at Cowie. Yeah. And if Levi wins, that's his defense year.
Yeah.
I can't see him re-signing. It works out good for Kitchen.
Anderson goes to Triumph, I reckon. Triumph 450.
Mm. He said he'd like to do a year in Europe, like a Filippo farewell tour.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Not sure about that though. I'm not sure.
No, if World Supercross takes off, I can see that for sure.
Yeah,
because it fits his thing of world travel.
That's another. That's a whole other fucking story. That's a world Supercross, man.
That's a big if.
Man, yeah. We'll leave that one alone. Yeah. Cool, man.
Do you think Christian Craig is around next year?
Do I think he's around? Yeah.
I can see him
going around on like a Club NX bike or a Phoenix bike, something like that.
If I wrote the script for the sport in a perfect world,
yeah,
in my dreams, Craig to Firepower and replace Dino. I feel like that could be,
a good
thing for him. Do a year or two there to sort of end it out.
Yeah.
Because he's done so well 450 Honda-wise, or just Japanese bikes in general.
Yeah. If I was him, I'd try and get on to Club, I reckon. He was fucking so good on the Yamaha 250, man. And the bikes are pretty similar nowadays, you know? I mean, I know they're not similar, but like they share similarities that you didn't have in the old days now, you know, like I think he just fits that Yamaha good. And there's not going to be an opening at Star, and he hasn't.
I don't think he'd go back.
He hasn't showed the results to get back to Star, but I could see him, yeah.
He was good on the 450 outdoors for Star. He did put in Parlor.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I'd like Hampshire to butt the bull and take that spot.
Yep. Yeah, he should. He should. It's funny, man, that, yeah, that's fucking terrible year that the Husky team's had, hasn't it? Fucking terrible. Yeah.
Suzuki's beating them in manufacture points.
Are they really? Are they
And
really?
they're about to
Man.
overtake Gas Gas as well.
Manufacture points, man. I don't know if I've ever looked it. I've never looked it up. I've seen it. It pops
In
up
the
from time to
broadcast,
time in the
yeah.
broadcast, doesn't it? Yeah.
I just look at Beta versus Triumph. Like they're
Yeah,
just
funny,
like
isn't it?
it's like 400 points behind. They got this tiny
Yeah,
little battle.
it's funny. Hey, what do you think of Coop getting the Triple Crown Champion Trophy?
I
At
don't think he cares at all. I don't
least he
think
knew
anyone
what it
ever
was. At
cares.
least he knew what it was. You remember when the first
The
time they
first
did
year Eli got
it,
it,
Eli didn't
he's
know
like,
what it was. It's fucking lame. That is fucking lame, man. That's lame.
To
Fuck
be
that up.
fair, I could go without triple crowns, really.
Could you? I like it how it is, man.
I get that sort
I
of
don't love or
excitement
hate.
of, I get the
Yeah.
excitement of who of the triple crown through heat races.
Yeah.
Like Cody Shock winning that heat race was like, got me more excited than any triple crown race this year.
Yeah. Now I kind of like it just how it is, man. I like having the a few sprinkled in. I reckon it is that's cool. I definitely wouldn't want more than there is.
I suppose it's like NASCAR going to circuits, like actual road race tracks rather than the ovals. They
Yeah.
need to do two or three a year. It's just
Sprinkle
enough
them
to.
in. Yeah. Yeah, the I think they could tweak, and I'm not the man to figure out the answer for this, but I think they could tweak something to make sure the last race always counts. That's the glitch in Triple Crowns, is where the last race can be like the fizzer because someone's just can just manage. A guy's gone 1-1 and he just knows he can just be third and win it. And so you can get that sort of last race where the best guys aren't sort of pushing. And that's like the final laps of the night. It should be the crescendo of the spectacle, you know. So and you'll get someone just sort of manages it. I don't know how they fix that. There's a
Re-rack
couple of
them halfway through the main.
million theories out there. I don't know, but yeah, and also too, like why I wouldn't want more of them too, because I really, really value the warriors of the
Tradition.
sport, the warriors of the sport that are at their best at the end of a grueling main event, you know. It takes away a bit from that with the Triple Crowns because, you know, they're shorter races, and especially the first couple of races, you know, they're sort of shorter, and or particularly the first race, you know, someone can get there, win that first short race, good start, that sort of thing. And that might be a guy who traditionally might fade a little, you know, and it could have been different in a normal main event. So that's only a little bit of it though. But yeah, basically I pretty much, yeah, I'd keep it how it is. I'm not a big guy on changing things. You know, a lot of people are always like, change this, we should change this, should change that. And it makes for stories and it makes for content and makes for interesting discussions. But there, yeah, that's not really usually my go-to. I sort of like the tradition. And yeah, it took me a while to get used to Triple Crowns because I like tradition, you know. I was yeah. like, you know, what's this fucking new shit? But they've won me over. It's like, you know, I'm still not sure about fucking start greats, you know, like it takes, yeah. takes me a little while, but I'll get used to it. And that sort of thing. So, yeah.
See, I wouldn't even be mad if they dropped two rounds and made it back to 15 like it used to be.
Because
I feel like the last couple, especially if there's a big points lead, it feels like it's just dragging on. And I probably, feel like they could benefit for another weekend off and amongst it as well.
Yeah.
A little bit more anticipation.
Especially now that we've got the Super Motocross and that sort of thing. So you
also there's
a lot on these riders, man. There's a lot on these riders.
Futures,
man.
Why do they have to put them out on like the gnarliest track? Like, do they want to end these kids' lives?
I love Futures, man. I reckon it's, yeah. I reckon it's good, man. Drew Adams, man. That kid's a fucking boss. Like,
he's like the next coming of Villopoto.
Dude.
A ginger on a cowie.
A ginger on a cowie. It's a historically good fucking blend, you know. It's a recipe for fucking victory, man. It's so like, you know, yeah. That's it, yeah. Even, you know, even some of the guys like, you know, even like Adam's pretty pale. I couldn't really pass him as a ginger, but there's a little bit.
When he first came in.
When he was pretty ginger, wasn't he? Yeah.
Mm.
Ricky and RV. When Wardy was young, Wardy was a bit ginger. He sort of went more sort of brown, but he's still a little bit of a ginger tinge, and he's Scottish, you know, so he's got that. There's definitely redhead blood in Wardy, you know. So, redheads on cowies, man. It's a good thing, man. There's a lot of winning been done behind us. That's for sure. Yeah. So and he was good, man. Like especially on this one, the one just you know on the weekend.
Just being, yeah.
Yeah, he was. He was the class of the field, like pretty easily, you know. So
I'm surprised Towers hadn't put one together yet.
Yeah.
So many crashes.
It doesn't mean much, man. Everyone already knows Towers is good, but he's kind of shit the bed with Futures, hadn't he? You know, I'm sure the kid's probably real disappointed. It's a shame because, you know, but. His team knows he's good. Everyone knows he's good. Like
Casey Cochran.
Yeah, same with exactly the same. Everyone knows he's fucking good. Like,
oh, he won the finals last year.
He won it last year, and he was a fucking B rider. You know, so it's you know. Hopefully, these kids don't get too heartbroken when they shit the bed in Futures races because it's about experience for him, isn't it, man? It's about experience. It's not, you know, nice to win, but it's mostly getting the experience. So, you know, it's not going to greatly, hugely affect their whole fucking career because they didn't win Futures. So, yeah.
Like Landon Gibson on the Husky?
Yeah.
There's Gibson and Gordon. I get the two confused.
Oh, you got me confused now, man. You're thinking of the one that's just turned 15 now. That's the one you're thinking
on
of.
On the Husky, yeah.
Yeah, on the Husky, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was decent.
Impressive, man, yeah.
The other one, the Cowie, though, that was leaking and faded back, that was getting real hairy near the end. Like, that looked like morning wood in the arms.
he was scrolling
everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's clipping, skying. He looked done.
They do get pretty wild, man. Before we finish the show, man, how's little bro going? He's had some good results. And so Blake's little brother, Luke, he's been fucking doing well in the New Zealand Nationals.
Yes. Yeah, so a couple of weeks ago, we had the third round. Yeah. And he managed to strike a podium in a race.
On a 252, so how much does he weigh, man? How much? He's pretty young and small still, yeah? How much is he weigh?
He's not long turned 17, and he's 62 kilos.
racing MX1 against the 450. So he's on a 252 stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And
so struck a third in a race.
Got a podium,
tied for the overall podium.
Yeah.
The final moto, he starts, comes in the first turn side by side with Harwood. Second turn, he gets nudged off the main line by Jed Beaton. Hit a slick patch, lost the front, dead last. And he come back up the fifth, which time for the podium, but ran out of time. They're only 20-minute races, so.
Yeah.
It was
he's doing well, man. Yeah. Doing real well.
Full-time working as well. Like, yeah, so they had the race.
He's a carpenter and he's turning up on a two-stroke and running third to Jed Beaton and Hamish Harwood. So it's pretty fucking good, man.
Race on the Saturday. The Friday beforehand, most people there sign on. He worked till 5 o'clock on the wheelbarrow basically all day, moving topsoil. They were doing a landscaping job that day. So he's moving stones, he's moving topsoil. That's all day. No days off for him, unfortunately.
Better get him over to futures, man.
We've got a little bit, we have a mini supercross track. We just don't have the land for it.
Yeah.
Where our actual track is. And he's good at timing stuff.
Yeah.
His cornering ability though is what would get him through Supercross. His ability to turn and roll through turns, it's unreal. Like the back section of Harrisville, I timed on a stopwatch because we don't have segments. So for probably just under a quarter of a track, he could match Harwood and Beaton through this one section where there wasn't the deep ruts, because that's where he was struggling, was the deep ruts and the other half of the track.
Yeah.
Because of the pipe. He can't lean it because the pipe.
It's an expansion table. Dude, you better tell Dad to fucking sell the house and sell up and fucking move the Maitlands to America and what do you reckon? Mr. Maitland, get into it.
There's a family of four here to look after. That's a very expensive job.
I know. Not everyone could do that sort of thing. It's good, man. It's good. I hope that he fucking sticks with it, man, because there's a lot of talent there, that's for sure.
And this is just him coming off his busted shoulder around Christmas. Had that bad dislocation. So he's only just come sort of up to a good level where he was beforehand. And he's only riding on a Saturday. And maybe on Wednesday afternoon, like every fortnight, he might do a Wednesday arvo.
Yeah.
So there's not much bike time and he's making these massive gains. So there's potential there. But he wants to do that Arantanti route of get a qualification and everything.
Which is smart. It's smart, yeah.
He's 17, like.
Yeah. He's got time.
He's got a whole many years ahead.
Yeah. That's right, man. All right, we might end the show on that there, man. So, and then we'll reconvene after round 16 and talk about, hopefully we're not talking about champions yet. Hopefully we're talking about what a banger Salt Lake's going to be then. So, and I'll also talk to you, man. Then I've been helping out Blake. Blake does MXGP reviews in a similar style to this, which I've been helping him out with, which is a steep learning curve for me because I only started really watching this year. So,
And how's that coming along, Steve?
Good, man. Good. Yeah, it's finding time to watch everything. There's too many fucking races, man. That's it. There's fucking too many races, man. With these
the good thing at the moment, races
and everything, dude. Like, yeah. But I get them watched, and I don't get a chance to watch any of them live. But I watch them all back and that sort of thing.
Well, the good thing lately is there's been a week. Seems to be a weekend break between each round, so you get plenty of time.
Yeah, no, it's good. I mean, I knew I'd enjoy it. It's just, gradually learning who's who. You know, obviously you know the front runners, but learning everything else and that sort of thing. And the broadcast's really good and all that sort of thing, you know. We just lost Blake. That's all right. I'll wrap up the show at that. Getting late over in New Zealand. Hopefully, they might turn the power off at a certain time. I'll get that jab in while he's gone. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. And, we will we'll talk after round 16 about the season. And I've got lots of cool guests coming up in the meantime as well. Cheers. Thanks for listening.